and never even show up for it. Not that that's anything new in my life. Denner staggered as a rock shifted under her foot. I grabbed for her, and she caught hold of my arm and shoulder before she fell. For a moment we were pressed against each other, and I was very aware of her body against mine as she took a moment to balance herself. I steadied her, and we moved apart. But after she regained her footing, she kept her hand resting lightly on my arm. I moved slowly as if a wild bird had landed there, and I was desperately trying to avoid startling it into flight. I considered putting my arm around her, partly for support and partly for other more obvious reasons. I quickly discarded the idea. I still remember the look on her face when she mentioned the constable touching her leg. What would I do if she had a similar response to me? Men flocked around Denner, and I knew from our conversations how tiresome she found them. I couldn't bear the thought of making the same mistakes they made simply because I didn't know any better. It was better not to risk offending her. Better to be safe. As I've said before, there is a great difference between being fearless and being brave. We followed the path as it doubled back on itself, continuing up the hill. All was silent, except for the wind moving in the tall grass. "So he's secretive," I prompted gently, worried that the silence would soon become uncomfortable. "Secretive doesn't cover it by half," Denner said, rolling her eyes. "Once a woman offered me money for information about him. I played dumb, and later, when I told him about it, he said it had been a test to see how much I could be trusted. Another time, some men threatened me. I'm guessing that was another test." The fellow sounded rather sinister to me, like a fugitive from the law or someone hiding from his family. I was about to say so when I saw Denner looking at me anxiously. She was worried, worried that I would think less of her for pandering to the whimsy of some paranoid lordling. I thought about my talk with Dion, about the fact that hard as my lot was, hers was undoubtedly harder. What would I put up with if I could win a powerful noble's patronage? What would I go through to find someone who would give me money for lute strings, see that I was dressed and fed, and protect me from vicious little bastards like Ambrose? I bit back my previous comments and gave her a knowing grin. "He'd better be rich enough to be worth your trouble," I said. "Bags of money, pots of it." Her mouth quirked up at the corner, and I felt her body relax, glad that I wasn't judging her.
"Well, that would be telling now, wouldn't it?"
Her eyes danced, saying, "Yes."
"He's the reason I'm here," she continued. "He told me to show up at this wedding. It's a lot more rural than I expected, but..."
She shrugged again, a silent comment about the inexplicable desires of the nobility.
"I expected my patron to be there."
She stopped, laughing.
"Did that even make any sense?"
"Just make up a name for him," I suggested.
"You pick one," she said. "Don't they teach you about names at the university?"
"Annabelle," I suggested.
"I will not," she said, laughing. "Refer to my potential patron as Annabelle."
"The Duke of Rich Money?"
"Now you're just being flippant. Try again."
"Just tell me when I hit one you like. Frederick the Flippant. Frank. Ferron. Foru. Fordale?" She shook her head at me as we climbed the crest of the hill. As we finally reached the top, the wind gusted past us. Denner gripped my arm for balance, and I held up a hand to shield my eyes from dust and leaves. I coughed in surprise as the wind forced a leaf straight into my mouth, causing me to choke and splutter. Denner thought this was particularly funny. "Fine," I said as I fished the leaf out of my mouth. It was yellow, shaped like a spearhead. "The wind has decided for us. Master Ash."
"Are you sure it isn't Master Elm?" she asked, eyeing the leaf. "It's a common mistake."
"Tastes like an ash," I said. "Besides, elm is feminine." She nodded seriously, though her eyes were dancing.
"Ash it is, then."
As we made it out of the trees and over the top of the hill, the wind gusted again, pelting us with more debris before it died down. Denner took a step away from me, muttering and rubbing at her eyes. The part of my arm where her hand had rested suddenly felt very cold.
"Black hands,"
she said, scrubbing at her face. I've got checked.